At that time, some people were there who told Jesus about the Galileans whom Pilate had killed while they were offering sacrifices to God. Jesus answered them, "Because those Galileans were killed in that way, do you think it proves that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, indeed. And I tell you that if you do not turn from your sins, you will all die as they did. What about those 18 people in Siloam who were killed when the tower fell on them? Do you suppose this proves that they were worse than all the other people living in Jerusalem? No, indeed. And I tell you that if you do not turn from your sins, you will all die as they did." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was once a man who had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went looking for figs on it, but found none. So he said to his gardener, "Look, for 3 years I've been coming here looking for figs on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it go on using up the soil?" But the gardener answered, "Leave it alone, sir. Just one more year. I will dig around it and put some manure. And if the tree bears fruit next year, so much the better. If not, then you can have it cut down."
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, week after week now, Terry seems to change the picture on the notice sheet. And this morning is a road sign. And I assume that that road sign signifies something about what I'm about to say, changing your mind, bearing fruit. Jesus said some really harsh things. And here today in the passage, he says, "Unless you repent or turn from your sins, you will die as they did. You will perish." There it is, a statement, a warning, a refrain, straight from Jesus' mouth, from the very heart of our Bible reading this third Sunday of Lent. Repent. Jesus offers these words not once but twice in a relatively short passage, and he voices the call throughout his ministry. Those words hit you right between the eyes. What does this call to repent have to do with the ongoing message and meaning of Jesus of Nazareth? And more close to home, what does this warning have to do with you and me, with our lives as human beings? Jesus had a way of dealing with such probing questions. He was quite aware that a picture is worth a thousand words. So here, as Luke relates the story to us, Jesus presents the image of a vineyard and uses the image of a fig tree in the midst to illustrate the call to repentance. It was an accurate and familiar picture to those that would have heard it. Fig trees were often planted in vegetable gardens and vineyards in that part of the world. The fig tree was treasured for their delicious and tasty fruit. In fact, Adrian and Julie had figs this last year on their fig tree, did you not? Fig jam. Fresh figs. I love fresh figs. But there's a big problem with this particular fig tree that Jesus talks about. It's utterly barren, producing no figs whatsoever. There are no tasty figs to be had. But even worse, especially in the arid land of the Middle East, this tree is absorbing large amounts of nutrients and nourishment, thereby depriving the surrounding vines of vital nutrition. So what do you do in a situation like that? Well, the owner has a clear and direct solution. Cut the darn thing down. I've had enough. And who can blame him? But there's a surprise ending here. The one who cares for the vines intervenes, saying that he will take the really radical step of dumping more precious manure around the tree and give it tender, loving care for another year to see whether there's a change and that it might bear fruit. Although nothing further is said, the vineyard owner must have given in. The fig tree is given a temporary reprieve, even though it would have legitimately been destroyed. A merciful fig tree story. Ancient literature is full of fig tree parables where the trees get axed. The fig tree was a symbol of the Jewish nation. Remember, Jesus destroyed a useless tree in a story told in Mark and Matthew's gospel, and the tree withered away and died on the spot, a sign that the nation had not repented and therefore would perish. It's the equivalent of Jesus standing outside and burning the national flag. Imagine what that would be like if I went into Phelps Parade tomorrow and picked up the Union Jack and set it alight. But this story is a story of mercy, not punishment. And it's also a story of expectation. The expectation of a radical change and a turning around of things. The tree must change. It must produce fruit by this time next year. So then Jesus says, unless you repent, unless you change, unless you turn around and bear fruit, you likewise will perish. The fig tree image and the parable is used by Jesus to tell the story of God's call to all of us to repent. He wants his listeners to turn to God who loves and rescues his people. He wants them to change their minds and their lives to reflect the compassion and care that God has given to them. And he wants them to bear fruit, the fruits of repentance, a new life in God, and God's love, the fruits of grace, of joy, of hope, and of peace. And his word is direct. His call is clear. His call simple. Repent. Turn around. Turn to me. Claim my life. Bask in my love. Relish my compassion. Enter my mercy. Repent. Change your mind. Reorientate yourself. That's what the Greek word translated repent means. Literally, it means change your mind, your heart, your soul, your life. So remember my original question, what has it got to do with you and me? And what effect might it have on our lives? Am I supposed to put on sackcloth and ashes and walk down Phelps Parade in town for all to see? That would be a day if we did that. Am I supposed to dwell in my past with regrets and sadness? I meet so many people who are left with the burden of unforgiveness of themselves. Am I supposed to wallow in my guilt and shame? No. That's not the loaded meaning and the great possibility of repentance. Listen to the definition of repentance offered by the novelist and spiritual writer Friedrich Buchner. To repent is to come to your senses. It is not so much something you do as something that happens. True repentance spends less time looking at the past and saying, I'm sorry, than to the future and saying, wow. Who was it that said that last week? It was Flo, wasn't it? Do you remember when we had when we talked about the alabaster jar and the ointment, I said, what would you think if somebody came with some perfume today that was worth £300 or £400 and poured it on somebody's head? And Flo said, I would say, wow. To repent is to come to your senses. And we all need to do that. We all need to come to our senses about some things in our lives, about our belief in our relationship with God, about our priorities in life, about some things that draw us from the love of God. And we all need to look to the future and say, wow, God holds great promise and great possibility for you and for me and for our lives. God offers great love and great hope for all of us, for our future. Of course, we all need to take stock of our lives. We need to examine our past, make amends where necessary, and ask for God's forgiveness. But we're not to get stuck there. That's not real repentance. Rather, to repent is to come to your senses, to change your mind, to turn in some new direction, and to enter your future with a sense of hope and love and companionship that God offers us. Wow. God has something in store for us in the future. God will give us gifts for our future. God will be there for us and for you and for me in our future. To repent is to change our minds and to recognize these things. It's to turn towards the future with faith and hope and love. Jesus told the parable of the fig tree to call his listeners to turn towards him and to change their minds and hearts. The fig tree, the symbol of the Jewish nation. The result for the fig tree and for the listeners is the same: to bear fruit, to live beautiful lives. Over the past weeks, we've been looking at Mike Frost's tool, bells, to bless, to eat with people, to listen to the Spirit of God, to learn Jesus Christ, and to recognize that we're sent. If we could develop those habits in our lives, if we lived such beautiful lives that people were so drawn to us and they wanted something of it too. As Jesus tells the story, the hope for the changed fig tree is that it will bear fruit. He has the same hope for the hearers of that story, that they will bear fruit too. And the ultimate sign of our changing our mind, our repentance, our turning in a new direction, is the action we take. It's not the words, it's not the sentiment, it's not the feelings. We can believe it all, but if we don't live it, it is action, it's bearing fruit. It's changing things. It's possible to be deluded, to be caught up in the words, but God seeks more from us. Actions of faith, actions of hope, actions of love. It's as if Jesus is saying to all of us, if you love me, show it. We're called to act with generosity, with hospitality, compassion, service, peacemaking, justice, witness, and respect. We're called to bear fruit. It's not enough to gather for our worship every week. We're brought together in Christ so that we might engage in God's mission of restoration, of renewal, and reconciliation in the world around us. Think of us here for a moment. How are you and I turning to God? And how is that transforming people's minds and hearts? How is it bearing fruit as we join God in his mission? Are you hopeful? Are you excited about the future which God gives us and through us to others? I have to admit, when I look at the plans at the back, I feel a little frustrated that we're here twiddling our thumbs, wondering what's going to happen next. But maybe there is something we should be doing in the waiting. Maybe if our desire is to engage better with our community, maybe that is what we do first and worry about our buildings second. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Die when I may, I want it said of me that I plucked a weed and planted a flower wherever I thought a flower would grow. I want it said of me that I plucked a weed and planted a flower wherever I thought a flower would grow." What if people were to say that of us? This season of Lent is a time to take stock of our hearts, of our minds, of our souls, of our life with God. Here are just a few things I might leave you with. First, it's that we acknowledge our need for God in our prayer, in our hearts, acknowledge the reality of the living God and recognize our own yearning and hunger for him. Second, it's about confession. It's about telling God the things that you regret and want to leave behind. And maybe there are things in your lives that God sees are wrong that you don't even recognize now because you've got so used to them. And maybe it's we need to ask God to make us aware of those things. Next, accept God's forgiveness. Receive his love. Truth is, God is more ready to forgive than we are to receive that forgiveness. And much more ready to love than we are to own that love. And fourth, it's about changing your mind. Re-examine some things about your life, your priorities, your patterns, your behaviors. Let God renew your mind with God's grace and love. Sometimes when we serve communion, I tell everybody that they're welcome at the table if they seek God's love. You can be 100 miles away and moving in the right direction and God welcomes you here at the table. You can be very close to God but turned in the wrong direction. And God says, reorientate yourself, turn around and you're welcome here too. And finally, we need to bear fruit. We need to develop holy habits, practices, patterns and behaviors that reflect the love that God has for you and the love that God longs for you to have for his world. Jesus used a fig tree as a symbol of a new future and a renewed hope of the love of God. Repent, change your mind, bear fruit. It's a continuous process, an ongoing way to live as individuals and as a community. And most importantly, with God, there is always another chance. The word for repent itself, translated from the Greek, combines elements of time and change. It literally means to think differently after. In other words, an active change of mind and heart. As with the fig tree, God is prepared to wait for us. The fig tree was given the opportunity for its renewal, its change, its growth, and its life. And thank God that we are too. Amen.